News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
McNutt. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. If you have any questions, comments, maybe you're trying to plan your garden in the cold, cold weather today, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. As always, I'm joined by Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Rick, how are you today?
Oh, a balmy minus 39.
Just a beautiful day out there. It does look really nice.
The sun came up and a beautiful sunrise this morning. And, you know what? You just have to take the positives for all the little bit of negatives we have these days, right? You got to think of all the positives. It's a beautiful, clear sky. It's a dry cold.
Yes. As someone who used to always claim that it was a damp cold when I lived in Ontario, I think calling it a dry cold does count.
Exactly. My sister used to live even on Vancouver Island. Mm-hmm. And I went there to visit her many years ago, and I'll take my dry cold.
I don't like this at all.
that wet cold they had there, it went right through me. I just couldn't get warm.
I think that's it. You know, at least if you wear enough layers and you're kind of smart about spending time outside, and then, you know, you can usually warm up pretty quickly once you get inside, once you're here in the drier cold. And it's sunny, so it's not all bad.
But you know what? There's some things we've got to watch for out there, because on the south side of my yard, the wind blew all the snow away, and a little bit of sun beating up against the wall of my house actually melted the snow away from the side of the house.
Oh, really?
So, and you wouldn't think of that. I mean, that happened, you know, a few weeks ago, but not in this really cold weather. But I mean, it's important if you got perennials or shrubs and that kind of stuff around the around your plants, you want to make sure that you get the snow. There's snow around. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that you you shovel some snow on top of any plant that might be exposed, because this cold weather, you will lose them.
They are not going to like it.
They're not going to like it at all. So just make sure that not very many spots that don't have snow right now, but there are some spots, and just make sure you keep them covered up, and that's important.
All right. We have our first call, Rick, just coming in now. It's Al in Regina. Al, how are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I have a question for Rick. Now, I remember some programs back there talking about a beautiful flower that's really nice around the garden borders. I have several pieces of a garden on my pig. I'm just back onto Wascana Lake. And he said it was the kind of the size of kind of dinner plates, apparently, and they come in very, very many different colors. I would like to, I can't remember the name of them. If you could tell me the name and where I could possibly purchase these seeds or whatever.
Yeah, it's called a dahlia bulb.
Okay. A dahlia bulb?
Yep, and you get it in a bulb.
And you can buy them where?
You can usually get the bulbs, usually come around in March or the very first week of April in any garden center you can get them. And it's called a dahlia bulb, and they're dinner-sized plate flowers.
Okay.
And it's a summer bulb so that you can keep them year after year, but you have to bring them inside the house for the wintertime, okay?
Oh, awesome. That'd be great.
But that's one.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Rick.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Al.
Bye. Thank you.
We also have our first text coming in right now. If you have any questions that you'd like to get into Rick, give us a call or a text. It's all one number, 1-877-332-8255. This one is coming from Kate in Saskatoon. She says, how soon can I start tomatoes? I have grow lights and a little tent.
Okay, tomatoes, the regular tomatoes, like your little cherry tomatoes and those kind of things, it's a little bit too early to start yet because they'll be just stretched and way too big.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to grow them to actually have the fruit inside the house. You have some grow lights set up and that kind of stuff, then you can start them now. But other than that, the only thing you want to start this time of the year is basically, if you start tomatoes, usually around this time of the year, you start all your things like your black cherry tomatoes. We usually start those around the 15th of February, and around the 20th of February we do the old German tomatoes.
Okay.
And things like the big rainbow tomatoes, the heirloom varieties, but most of the others, your beefsteaks and your other cherry tomatoes, you can be starting more in March and the first week of April. It's a little bit early, but also hot peppers. That's what you really want to start right now. If you're into the, you know, the Caribbean hot peppers or the aroma chili peppers or the cayenne blend peppers, now's the time to get those started.
Okay, so definitely something to have on the radar, and a few varieties can start now.
Absolutely.
All right, perfect. We're going to go to Paul in Saskatoon. Paul, how are you doing today?
Actually, I'm nice and warm. I have a fire going in
Good.
My fireplace, so it's nice.
Yeah, I'm looking at my fireplace right now, too, and it's making me feel warm.
The feeders are busy.
Oh, you know what? Feeders are important right now. The birds are foraging for, you know, usually have weed seeds sticking out of the snow, and there's not much of that left anymore, and it's important to feed the birds. Good job.
Well, I'm slopping peanut butter on a log, and that's the most, that's the one there on there the most, so.
Especially the chickadees.
Here's another thing, Rick. I'm saving my trees. I went and picked up some feed bales from a farmer. They're like $5 a piece, and I started throwing those around the yard. That's what they eat. They're leaving the trees alone.
Is that what you're talking about, the rabbits and the deer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep,
yeah,
that's what they'll go for. They'd rather eat that than eat my trees. You know, it's good food, right?
Mm-hmm. It's important, and I know I was around the yard right now. Was that there's an acreage I was at, and just to go in and check it out, is that the deer had just decimated all the junipers and cedars right now. And so, yeah, if you can feed them to keep them away, or otherwise even putting some wire, I just use some, in one yard I had, I just use some snow fencing, and I laid it right over top of my junipers, and then the deer didn't like stepping into that, and they stayed away from it. But they're eating everything right now. It's unbelievable. They're just so hungry right now, they're just eating everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a quick question here for you now.
Yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
I got some romaine lettuce.
Yes.
Making some of those Caesar salads.
Yep.
Now, I stuck the stump in the glass of water, and it's 3 inches high now.
Yep.
Am I going to be able to plant that?
Absolutely.
In the springtime?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. I've got four more in the fridge. I'm going to do that, and that's how I'm going to start my... Caesar salad lettuce there. Romaine lettuce, that's fantastic.
And remember, when you start lettuce, I always like starting lettuce, even when I put it out in the garden, I don't plant my whole rows of lettuce all at one time. I'll if I got packs of seeds, if I'm going to do it by seed, I'll plant, you know, maybe a third of the row or 25% of the row 1 week and then another 25% the next week. And then through the summertime, you have fresh plants coming up all summer long, rather than, you know, your salad, you don't get at it and it gets old and not nice anymore, and you don't cut it off. And so spacing out your seeding in your garden or even in the house of your salads, that's the best way to do it, to keep fresh stuff all the time.
And I also, you got to cover them up because the bugs love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I put a crop cover over top of it so that it keeps the moths and stuff off, the cabbage moths.
Crop cover is the best way of doing it, and now you can even put a little high tunnel over top of it with the crop cover.
Yep.
It's a little wires in a loop, and it'll just keep the crop cover off of it, and the water, actually rain can go through it, and it works really good. So good job.
Thanks so much for your time, you guys.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for a few commercials here, then we'll be right back. We have Lonnie waiting on the line, so we'll get to them right after this quick break. If you have questions, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Chilly one, but we're still getting ready for all things gardening with our Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Rick, it looks like we're going to be pretty busy for the next few minutes, but if you have calls or you want to get a text in, you can, it's all one number now, 1-877-332-8255. We'll get to Lonnie here in Prince Albert. Lonnie, thanks for waiting for us.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question today?
Okay, last year, first time ever, I put my strawberries in a planter because I was sick of the birds and the mess.
Yep.
So, and they did really well. And I heard you last fall saying that you can insulate it, but this is a round planter, which I couldn't put insulation, you know, like styrofoam. So I brought them into our garage, and we kind of used that as a cold room.
Yep.
There's still some greenery. They're not dead. I've watered them about 2 times, just lightly, this winter. I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing by watering them, and when do I take them back out?
Yeah, so watering them, yes, just only enough water so that they don't go bone dry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wake. I don't want to wake them up. I just want to give enough moisture so that that soil doesn't go really, really, really dry, so it's very little, okay?
Yep.
So you might be watering them once a month type of thing.
Yeah.
And actually not even watering once a month, checking if they need watering once a month, okay? And watering if you stick your finger in the soil and you feel absolutely no moisture at all, and then just a little bit of moisture and not very much, and try not to get it on the moisture on the leaves if you can,
okay?
So try to pour it onto the soil itself. And then putting them out, you're not going to be putting them out until, well, at least until after May the 10th and more like the May long weekend.
Okay.
That's going to be around because you want to, obviously, as long, because they're probably going to start forcing to grow a little bit once you get into March and April.
Should I have them covered so that even the light through the window in the garage doesn't encourage growth?
Yeah, it doesn't matter because it's going to warm up a little bit in your garage, and you can, if you keep them darker, you'll discourage them from growing.
Okay.
But they probably will start growing. And what happens when you cover them with a blanket, sometimes the leaves will turn a bit yellow, chlorotic, right? And they'll turn yellow from not having the sun. And then you're even more trouble to put them outside because then you got the sunlight and the stress of having sunlight right away and the cold temperatures, because when the leaves turn a bit yellow like that, they'll be more tender.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that's even worse to put them outside, that you have to almost put them outside in the shady spot of the yard, right?
Okay.
And then what you can do also in the spring to get them out, especially you want to put them out a little earlier, is just acclimatize them. Put them out during the day, bring them in at nighttime, right? And acclimatize them for a bit, depending how big the pots are, if you can move them, right? And then just acclimatize them, and then they'll be able to go out a lot sooner. They're pretty tough, so
okay.
you go out a lot quicker than your regular, you know, annual plant that you would buy from the greenhouse in the spring.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks, Lonnie. All right, so we have another call on the line. It's Faye in Saskatoon. How are you today, Faye?
I'm okay.
Good, thanks. What's your question for
Rick? I have a spider plant, and I water it every second day, and then I'm wondering what I should do with it. If it has a lot of spiders, it takes up the whole coffee table, and should I be cutting it down or just let it keep going?
Absolutely. Trim it down. Keep it under control. Okay.
Oh, okay, because it's got stems like might have a dozen spiders already.
Yeah, no,
and
you can
I give
those.
It more. It has the morning sun. Is that good?
Yeah, that's perfect. And just watch your watering. If you're just going every second day, I mean,
yeah, I do every second day.
Yeah, you're doing fine because obviously it's growing and doing well. But make sure that, you know, on the especially cloudy days and that, if it's cloudy for a while, if you got the sun coming in, you might just stick your finger into the soil and make sure it's not wet already, okay?
And then some of the leaves that are drooping down because the leaves are pretty heavy. So should I cut some of those leaves down too? And
yeah, you can trim those, no problem. In fact, you can take one of those spiders and you can actually stick it into a glass of water, or stick it into the soil, and you can start some new ones if you wish to as well.
Oh, I don't want any more. They're growing everywhere. It's got the whole, you know, takes up the living room. So I'll have to cut it down, then that's okay to just cut those spiders right off.
Not a problem. And if you want to start some for the grandchildren, that's great too.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Faye.
Bye.
If you have any questions that you want to get into Rick, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. Rick, we have a couple texts that we can get to here before news in a couple of minutes. We'll start off here. No name on this one, but they're wondering how to get a Kaffir lily to bloom.
Normally, to get them to bloom, you're going to need to all lilies need a cold, like a resting period time, right?
Okay.
So they need a time when they can rest, and then that way they can rejuvenate. And so that means putting it into a cooler spot and letting it cool down. And then that's usually for around anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
They need that rest period. And then you can get them to rebloom after that. But other than that, That's with most lilies. They just need that rest period, and especially to get some cool nights. So, and our houses are usually pretty cool at night. But if you can find a spot where it's not really warm, like some people keep their temperatures in the houses like at 21 degrees all the time. Mm-hmm. So the temperature can go down to like, you know, 16 degrees around that at nighttime. That'll help trigger it as well.
Okay, so maybe like a basement or a storage room if you have it.
But you still need the light, okay?
Oh, okay.
So obviously, you still need the light, so that's important.
All right. Kay in Regina is wondering, our garden is about 2,000 square feet. How many pounds of alfalfa pellets will we need?
2,000 square feet, you'll probably be able to, 2,000 square feet, probably a 50-pound bag would probably do it.
Okay.
Just work it into the top 2 inches of the soil, and normally they come in 50-pound bags anyways. That's how you can buy them. A lot of times you can buy them smaller, but the general one you can buy is 50-pound bags. You usually find them at a lot of different garden stores or even animal stores, like where you get your horses and feed and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but otherwise, you can use that. That'll work good, and about a 50-pound bag will work perfect for about that size.
All right, perfect. We have a question from Jamie. They're trying to get into strawberry plants. They're wondering what advice you have to start a strawberry patch, and it would likely be in a vegetable garden near one end or the other. How many seeds or how much room would you need? Does it need full sun, moisture, nutrients? They need to know it all.
More sun, the better.
Okay.
That's important. So more sun, the better. You can sort of put it in the corner of the garden you want. Basically, what I like doing is you don't need quite as much water as you would, let's say, the rest of your vegetable garden.
Okay.
And so so if you can do that, and if you can set up a drip system where you can put a soaker hose on the ground, where it's not a soaker hose, because soaker hose sprays over top, so I call it a weeping hose, and they just drip down the ground. That's the best way. But also you got to remember that most likely you're probably going to put some bird netting over it. So you want to put some place where you can actually set up some little stakes and some netting over top of them.
Okay.
To keep the robins out of them so you get them and not all the robins. And the waxwings, they love them.
They are pretty good.
They are very good. So otherwise, just nice rich soil and nice lots, as much sun as you can, and they'll do just great.
And I've seen sometimes people put like straw or hay kind of around the strawberries. Is there a reason to do that?
Yeah, basically what they're doing is they're just keeping moisture in and trying to keep weeds down.
Okay.
Now, I don't really like using straw because also the mice like the strawberries as well, right? And so that just attracts those kind of rodents and that kind of stuff around with the straw. And I don't like using grass clippings either because grass clippings, they actually, unless you composted them a bit, turn them brown, but if you put green grass clippings, they actually rob the nutrients out of the soil. And then, you know, if you ever stick your hand into a pile of grass, it's really hot, right?
Yeah.
And moldy, and so that's not good either. So use some bark mulch or things like that that would work really good. And I like using myself, it's just a cedar mulch, because it doesn't break down so quickly. It actually, you know, it has its own preservatives in it that'll keep it from breaking down. And it just keeps the moisture there and also keeps the strawberries from touching the dirt, and so it keeps them cleaner. And so you don't have any rotten strawberries.
Perfect. Jamie also has just a bit of a follow-up here. Is there a variety that you think would work best?
Well, there's two ways you can go. There's a day neutral, which are the ones that will produce quite often right through the season. So like your TriStar is a really good one. It produces all. But if you want the big strawberries that you get in the stores, That's called a June bearing.
Okay.
So one that's called Kent is probably the best one that grows in Saskatchewan for the big, but it only produces for a short time in the summertime.
Okay.
But if you want the smaller strawberries that produce all the time, TriStar, Seascape is another one that does really well here. So either of those two.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick break for news, but you can still get your questions or calls in at 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Aaron McNutt. You're listening to Garden Talk. As always, I have Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers with me today. And if you have a call for Rick, you can either call or text us 1-877-332-8255. We have Terry waiting on the line for us, Rick, from Crystal Springs. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thanks, and hopefully you guys are too.
Yeah, keeping warm.
Keeping warm.
What's your question for Rick today?
Last fall, I planted a bunch of bulbs, and I was just wondering, after they bloom in the spring, can I plant vegetables in between these bulbs after their season is done?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We plant a lot of annuals, like flowers, like petunias and snapdragons, marigolds, and all that kind of stuff in between the tulip bulbs and daffodils and all that kind of stuff as well. So crocuses. So, yeah, absolutely, you can plant in between them. That's not a problem because they will, by the time you get into to basically about June, most of those leaves are going to wither down and they put the energy back in their bulbs. So it's not a problem as long as when you're planting your other plants that you're not digging up, because most of your bulbs, especially tulip bulbs, they should be down 6 inches deep, right? And so you're not going to be able, you're not going to disturb the bulbs by planting on top, beside them or on top of them or in between them.
Oh.
So that's the big thing, as long as you're not digging down and disturbing the bulbs.
Right. And I just leave the bulbs right there.
Just leave the bulbs right there and they'll come back next spring in the same spot.
Perfect. I appreciate the advice.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
All right. We have a couple of texts to get to. John in Estevan has a question, says, my cat got into my pathos. Should I trim the leaves she nibbled on or just leave them?
Yeah, you can just either way. If you can trim them, even just trim parts of the leaves off just to get them so they don't look like that and so you don't have a jagged edge onto them.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of clean them up with a scissor. Just, you don't have to cut the whole leaf off. You can actually just shape the leaf itself. And so that works. And then actually plant some cat grass. It's a great time to plant it. It'll come up in about 5 to 7 days. You can plant it in a little tray or a little pot. And so if you plant some cat grass, that'll keep the cats from eating, and even for your dogs as well, or rabbits or whatever you have.
Yeah.
It's a great thing way to have the dogs and cats staying away from the house plants is have something else for them to eat. And the cat grass works really well. And or you can just use an oak grass as well. That's another one that works really well. And they just keep nibbling it off. And it's good for the dog. And they love chewing on something green.
Just a bit of a distraction tactic.
That's exactly how you, just like our first caller called in today about putting some bales out.
Yes.
Just to keep them away from the other trees. So you're doing the same thing with the cats and dogs and the rabbits inside the house as well. Because some, you got to watch, Aaron, there's some plants that are actually, if the dogs or cats eat a lot of the plant, they're actually toxic to the plant.
Yeah, some house plants.
Yeah, you want to be careful that way. So that's why you put some cat grass out. Then you're basically distracting them away from those type of plants.
All right. We have Roberta on the line with a question. Roberta, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Rick today?
Amaryllis. I want to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep it year after year after year. Just what you want to do now, it's obviously finished blooming. That stalk that was up, have you trimmed it off yet?
No, it's still good and green.
Still good and green, so leave it there until it starts wilting over and turning brown. Then you want to trim it down to where it was, you know, where you saw just before it came out of the stalk of the bulb, right?
You
can trim it down to that level. And then just keep it in the pot, put it in the sunlight, because the leaves will come out, obviously. Probably the leaves have come out of it already. Is there leaves on it?
It has a big frond that it had, big leaves before.
Yeah, so keep it in the sunlight. It'll put energy back in the bulb. Water it sparingly, okay? It doesn't like lots of water, but it likes water every once in a while. And so don't keep it too wet. Keep it more on the drier side. And then you can even put it outside, which I recommend putting it outside for a little while, especially in August, in the last 2 weeks of August, because the cooler weather at night times will trigger it. And then what you want to do in about the September long weekend, bring it back in the house. And then basically wait inside the house till about the third or fourth week of September, and then you want to transplant it. You want to pull it out of the pot and put it right back in that same pot with some new soil, or you can get a little bit bigger pot as well, and that will trigger to bloom for the next Christmas again.
Okay, but how do I put it away for the night?
For the nighttime? Oh, just
for right now. How do I? What do I do with it right now?
Treat it like a houseplant. Treat it like a houseplant. Put it in the sunlight. Put it in the window close to the window. What's that?
Just keep it going then.
Just keep it going. Treat it like a houseplant.
Okay.
So, yeah, just treat it like a houseplant. Fertilize it once a month right now and water it very sparingly and put it in the sunlight. So it loves to have sun and inside the house, obviously. And so put it in a coastal window and just treat it like a houseplant and it will be fine. And you'll have it for next year again.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Roberta.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right. We do have a couple of texts coming in, but still lots of time to get your questions in for Rick. Our phone number here is 1-877-332-8255. We have a question about potatoes from Mary. Mary says, what's the best way to store them? I have cold storage room, but the potatoes have been spotting and growing soft.
Yeah, so they've been sprouting a bit. So one thing to watch for is that you want it, you want to make sure that you, your moisture level in your cool area is not too moist, and then you want to make sure that you don't got any light also in that area. So store them in a dark place. I know one person that used to put potatoes and even carrots into a box of sand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then used to dig them up the carrots and potatoes up as the season, as the winter went along. And they were nice and fresh, and they were sweet and everything else. So that's just one way. They just kept the moisture at the right moisture, and they didn't dry out, and they actually kept very fresh that way. Whatever works. So that was a good way of doing it. But, yeah, just making sure that they don't get too moist. Is that the big thing? And that's why a lot of the places where the market gardens store them, they make sure they got good ventilation, just like the farmers put, you know, ventilation in the grain bins, you know. And just to watch the moisture, there's not too much moisture, because that's what will cause them to sprout.
All right, we'll get to one last text here before we head to a quick break. It's from Scott from Saskatoon. What are the best pepper varieties for the prairies?
The pepper varieties, there's quite a few different varieties that you can put them. I mean, a lot of people like using the bell peppers. They work well, and you got both the reds and the greens and the yellows. And so probably the bell peppers is probably the most popular pepper. But now everybody, of course, is getting into those cayenne and chili peppers. They've been actually taking over from just the sweet peppers. People are into hot.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not into hot at all. I can't handle it.
But, don't serve you anything hot.
But I tell you, the Himalayans and the Caribbean hot peppers, the hotter the cayenne blend peppers, the hotter the better. That seems to be the most popular ones.
Huh.
And so if you want to do the hot peppers, you got to start seeding them now if you want to start your own.
Okay.
And you can get them later on as plants. But if you want to the green peppers, a little bit too early. It's about another 2 weeks yet before we're going to start the sweet peppers.
All right, perfect. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll get to Brian's call here in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. And Rick, we've had Brian waiting for a little while now, so we'll just jump right in. Brian in Saskatoon. How are you today, Brian?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me. Hey,
of course.
Rick, I have in my backyard a row of silver evergreens. I don't know what the technical term for them would be, but they're about 20 years old, and one of them seems to be losing all their needles. And I'm kind of wondering, like, could they be too close together, and maybe they seem to be really encroaching in on each other, or do I have another problem that I need to be worried about?
Yeah, the biggest thing around Saskatchewan with a lot of the spruce trees, especially the Colorado spruces, is that we have a problem with needle cast disease. So what you can do is just look up Google needle cast disease, and you can look what it looks like. You find that the brown goes right to the tips of the branches, or just in the inside part of the branches?
Definitely the inside, I think. Yeah.
Okay. If it's the inside, a lot of times it's just spider mite issues. Okay, it's insect that's sucking on the needles. But if you find it's random branches going right to the tips and right through the whole plant and different spots, spider mite work from the, it's an insect that works from the bottom, inside, up, and out, okay? That's generally how they work.
Whereas needle cast disease is more random. You have a branch, one branch that will go right out to the branch, out to the end, and it'll be all through the tree right to the top. If it's needle cast, you need to control it real quick, because if your plants are too close together, it'll go like wildfire right down the whole row of trees. Okay, so keep an eye on if it's not needle cast disease, and you can spray them with copper sulfate every 2 weeks for 3 times. Okay, that's important. Spider mite, but the only thing you can really do with them is you blast them with cold water, or otherwise what takes care of them also is malathion. But you need a mask up, obviously, to spray that. And you need to blast it right into the center of the tree. So those are the two things that really has a problem with them. Also, closeness. If they're too close, just make sure that you got the water to them, especially we had a drought last year. Mm-hmm. Make sure they get water, and also fertilize them with a sulfur-based fertilizer. Because obviously they're taking all the nutrients. They're fighting each other for nutrients. So if you fertilize them, that'll help as well. And you may have to thin them. I plant my spruce trees, like in my yard, I planted them 20 years ago, and they're 20 feet apart. They're now touching, okay? When I plant them 20 feet apart. So if you got them 6 feet apart, you may think about wanting to take a chainsaw and taking every second one out. You're going to have some bald spots, but they eventually will fill in.
Yeah. No, it's great. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, okay. Brian. All right. We have a couple of texts. There's still some time to get your questions in to Rick today. Our number here is 1-877-332-8255. We have a suggestion for strawberry patches. They say pinwheels are good to keep birds away. And, hey, they decorate things a little bit, too.
Yeah, that works really well. Yeah, it's keeping the birds away, and even raised planters. But then, like you said, you have to bring them in, or you have to transplant your strawberries back into the ground somehow. But raised ones work really well to be able to pick them as well and keep them clean.
We have a question here. No name attached to this one. They're just curious about adding lactic acid bacteria into a garden.
Actic lab, never tried actic, but any bacteria are good for the garden, okay? For most bacteria that you can use, especially if you can use adding compost, which adds bacteria, which adds microorganisms, which break things down, and that's what the plants grab for food, okay? And so, but I've never tried the lactics, and so I'd have to do some more research before I can really comment on that one. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have Evelyn in Regina, curious, says, I have planted hyacinth bulbs on October 20th and put them in the fridge. They have bulbs about 1 inch high now. How big should they get before I introduce light?
If they're that tall, depending a lot of people don't want them to bloom until almost April, you know, end of March, April, it's a little early. If you want them to bloom, you can bring them out just about any time they're starting to grow that tall. Usually it's 10 to 12 weeks, which I like to keep them in the cool, so keep them in the fridge that long. If you find that your temperature just drop, make your if you have them in the fridge, if you can drop the temperature down just a couple degrees, it'll slow them down.
Okay.
If you want to slow them. Otherwise, if they're starting to sprout that much, if you wanted to start bringing them out into light, you can do that now. It's just that they'll bloom early, and then you have just, take care of the bulbs until you can plant them out, outside for the summertime.
Perfect. We have Keith waiting on the line here in Prince Albert. Keith, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Rick today?
I've got two towering cedars in my front yard. They're about 20-25 feet tall, and ever since we had the rainstorm here, the deer have been coming in the yard and really chewing on our trees. I was wondering if there's anything that can be done, or if it's fatal having them chewed down like that, or...
Oh yeah, big time, because it'll take years for them to come back. So get some fencing put around them, even some snow fencing, okay? We'll keep them away from them.
What about just wrapping them with a tarp?
Yep. Well, actually not a tarp, because it'll heat up. Actually use burlap, okay?
Yeah.
Burlap has lots of holes in it.
Yeah.
Tarp will actually heat them up, and then you'll actually burn the ends of the leaves, okay, when the sun hits it, especially when when it gets warmer in March, or if we get a Chinook coming through.
Yeah.
The tarp will actually, any leaves, unless you can put a frame around them and have the tarp away from the branches and leave the top open, right? But if the tarp is touching the branches, they'll actually burn the branches on the inside. It'll heat them up and dry them out.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Okay.
So there's short of that, there's nothing to do. I got some stuff from the environment, a real spicy mixture, and it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. There's some product out there that's called, that has basically cayenne peppers and all different types of different things in it. They work not bad, but otherwise, like with mine, I put a barrier between them and it's like a piece of snow fence because it breathes, right?
Yeah.
Or if you want to wrap them right around the plant, use burlap, okay? Because it breathes and it's brown, so it doesn't, it's a light brown, so it doesn't heat up so bad, and just leave the top part open, and just enough to keep the deer from eating them. But they won't come back for years. It'll take years for them to come back when they chew them down that bad.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Keith. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have a couple texts that we can get to. We have about a minute or so left in this show, so let's see if we can kind of rapid fire, I guess.
Okay, absolutely.
This is a question about 8-foot Holmstrup.
Holmstrup cedars.
Oh, I did it. They're about 15 years old. The last year, the top 6 inches turned completely brown. What do you suggest?
If the top 6 inches turned completely brown, just trim them off. And fertilize them every 3 weeks with a 30-10-10, an evergreen fertilizer, from May the 10th until July the 15th and then stop. And then you'll get lots of nutrients and help fill that growth up again, and they'll be fine.
All right, perfect. And last one here, they're wondering if they can still trim lilacs this winter.
You can trim lilacs only if you want to trim them down to reduce the size by quite a bit. You want to trim them down in the month of March is when you want to trim them. If you're just doing the light trimming on them, don't do it until after they finish blooming, because you trim them in this time of the year, you'll cut all the blooms off because they set their buds in the fall to bloom the next year. So wait, if you're just doing the light trimming, wait till after they finish blooming in June. If you want to do a major trimming, you want to do it in March. You'll lose most of your blooms for 1 year, but then they'll come back the following year.
All right, perfect. And that takes us to the end of the show for this weekend. As always, thank you so much for all your calls and texts. It really makes the show for us.
It's fun.
All right, thanks so much. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.